about what's going on right now. And wow, have we ever been snowballed, if you will. Lots of satanic activity going on, and Satan has been hard at work. And thank God for his scriptures to give us understanding and truth into all things.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
All right, I'm going to stop it right there so we can get started is what we're going to talk about here today. It is 2:15. So if you're looking to jump ahead here, you can get 15 minutes into this, and I'll maybe put that on there for people if they don't want to listen to the music or any of that. I hope they would, though. These hymns are good for you. These hymns are good for the soul, and they feed the soul. They help us, and we need them in our lives, and God gave us good music to help us and along the way and to encourage our hearts. So, you know, I want to talk to you about this, and we have a chat over at on Facebook through Instant Messenger. It's an OPBC live chat, and I do that chat during the broadcast, and I have that chat up all the time, and you can mute that chat if you'd like to, but unfortunately I can't shut it off for you and on like during the day when other people want to talk. But during broadcast, if you want to be on that chat, you can mute that chat any other time if you don't want to be, you know, bothered with it. But if you'd like to be on that chat, you can let us know, and we'll put you on there during the broadcast. This is my answer to YouTube right now. There's other things we have in the future, other plans that we have, other things that we're going to be doing, as we know what's coming with YouTube, and we know what they're going to do, and, you know, all these people are going to eventually kick us off. So anyway, we're going to be prepared for that as best we can. You know, wow, are we going to talk about some crazy things that are going on right now, some things that you should be aware of. But in order for me to do that, you know, I'm going to have to really kind of lay it out for you. So let me say hi to a few people that are on the chat right now. Brother Carl and Mary are on there, and Peter is on there, and Teresa is probably somewhere on there. And there's a few others that are on there. And thank God for them, the faithful ones that are out there. And I know there's more of you that will catch this. There are hundreds of you that catch this in replay, and that you don't watch it during that time during live, but you watch it later. So I appreciate that, and you know, that's good. But you know, today we're going to show you some things. I'm going to show you some things that, and we're going to talk about some things that are absolutely insane to me. I mean, they are absolutely nuttyville to me, crazy. And unfortunately, it's where our world is headed. But in order to do that, I've got to kind of, I want to back up a little bit and give you a snapshot of what happened. I am firmly convinced that COVID-19 and all of the things that went around this pandemic were for a reason other than, you know, that it was planned. I believe it from the Chinese lab that it was planned. I believe it from us supporting Wuhan back in Obama's days that it was planned. I believe that the experiments that were held over in China, because they're illegal in the U.S., which that really doesn't matter to them too much, but the Chinese are all too willing to kill their own people. So I believe that that was planned. I believe the release and the timing of everything was planned. I believe that the responses to it were absolutely planned. But I believe that it's bigger than what we understand. Let me explain it to you the best I can. Well, first of all, let me start with Bible. All right, let me start with the Word of God. And let's go to Ephesians 6. No. I think it's 6. Let me see here. Yep, I think it is. Sorry, my brain's not working today. Yep, I was right. Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Do you understand this is in contrast to flesh and blood? I'm going to say this again. Do you understand this is in contrast to flesh and blood? One more time. Do you understand that this is in contrast to flesh and blood? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, so then because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, my friends, we are in a war. And the war is for your mind. Alex Jones coined that phrase, there's a war for your mind, right? Well, he's not lying. There is a war. And the war is the mind is the battlefield. The mind and heart of man is the battlefield of the war. It's the main battlefield. And I firmly believe that, and I've talked to you about this in my vast series on the Antichrist and the understanding of the Antichrist and his kingdom and everything else. In fact, and I'm not bragging either, but to my knowledge, I don't know of anybody that has correct theology that believes the scriptures, the King James Bible, that has preached more on the Antichrist and his kingdom than I have. I don't know anybody that has. I don't know anybody that's really focused on that. the characteristics of Antichrist, understanding it and understanding what's coming. And and one of the things that I warned you of years ago was deception is the number one, one of the number one tools of the Antichrist. Deception. But if I can get you to understand this, deception is not always a complete lie. Deception many times, deception is an element of the truth. Because in order for a deception to work, in order to deceive people, there has to be an element of truth included into it. That's what makes the lie more believable. Do you understand? That's what makes the lie more believable. I'm talking about this tomorrow a little bit when I talk about the special miracles that Paul did in the book of Acts. And I'm going to talk about how the charismatic people, what they do is, and the like Kenneth Copeland and all those other people, one of the things that they do is they take Bible accounts and they twist them, true accounts, they twist them in order that they might make them appear to apply to the situation that they're in. So they say, well, see, Paul did miracles, we do miracles. Paul healed, we heal. Jesus did this, so we do this. Right? That's what they do. That's how they operate. And that's how Satan operates. That's that spirit of Antichrist. Deception. That's the true spirit of Antichrist, and that's what's going on right now. That's exactly what they're doing. And that's exactly what's happened. So I want to set up a scenario for you. Oh, by the way, and I also think, and I could be wrong about this, and I'm not trying, whoa, let me just fix this. Hang on. And I'm not trying to boast. I'm not attempting to do that at all. At all. Not even in the least bit. God chastens me so that I want to be very careful about ever boasting or anything like that. Okay? So I want you to understand that. That's not the purpose of me bringing it up. The purpose is to lay down the groundwork. I don't know if anybody else has talked as much about COVID-19, the satanic psyop, and all those other things that I have. That has correct doctrine, I mean. That's really dealt with the satanic side of this. I don't know of a lot of people that have. A lot of them will go into spooky charismatic land and get into a bunch of false doctrine and everything else. But as far as being true to the King James Bible, as far as being true to biblical principles and all those things, I'm not sure there has been. I mean, I have like 40, if let's look at it. I mean, I think I have close to 40 things on COVID-19. You know, let's see. And again, I'm not saying that to brag or anything else like that. Let me go to the series this year. Sermons. Those are sermons. There we go. Series. Okay. So 36 of these. 36 of them. So I've talked a lot about it. I haven't shied away from it. I keep getting kicked off of YouTube for it. But by the grace of God, I haven't shied away from the subject. Because if I got to not talk about truth, YouTube can, you know, that whole organization can dig a big hole and their digital platform can fall into hell as far as I'm concerned. Before I'm going to compromise what I believe and not tell them the truth. I may have to take things off of there and I may have to deal with YouTube that way. That's fine. But I'm going to go where I can tell the truth. Right? And we'll depend on the Lord to take care of the rest of it. All right. So anyway, I've talked to you about the satanic psyop of it all and all these other things. But there's a bigger picture here that the Lord showed me today that it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, whoa, this is insane. Have you ever got hit by a ton of bricks? That hurts. I need one of those. Dun, dun, dun. That was a good one. Anyway, but the Lord showed me this today. I found this article, and it kind of just links everything together, puts it into more perspective of this metaverse. But let's talk about COVID-19 first a little bit, okay? Let's do that. Let's talk about COVID-19 a little bit. So let's go back to 2019, the winter of 2019, and heading into the winter of 2020, right? People were starting to get sick in February. All the stuff was starting to come down. All this stuff was happening. What was the real design of it? Well, multifaceted is what the design was. Churches were required to shut down eventually. In February, March, they shut the whole country down. Everything went what? Virtual. So they had to create an environment. Right? They had to create an environment that was conducive, or that was necessary, or that prompted you, a bridge, so to speak, to get you to go completely virtual with your life. They had to. They had to do it. Why? In order to fulfill the Great Reset. The Great Reset is not, it's not just an economic forum or an economic reset of socialism and all. It's not just that. No, 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 no. It's about Atlantis rising. It's about the metaverse being Atlantis and it rising. It's about techno-occultism. It's the merging of man and machine, which maybe the part two to this will be on Friday. I don't know yet. It might be Friday. Okay? Because the second part of this, I'm going to deal with robotics. I'm going to deal with a lot of other things like that. Because that's the second part of it. But it was the merging of this virtual world, making it necessary for you, because things are so contagious, right? Things are so dangerously contagious that you have to do everything virtually now. Right? You have to absolutely do everything virtually. Because you're a danger to one another touching each other. Right? Do you know how I believe they're gonna depopulate the world? Or much of the world, or slow down the population of the world, not just through sickness. No, 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 no. Uh-uh. They're going to do it the way they did it in this movie. Remember this movie? And I don't want you watching this movie. Don't go out and watch this. It's filthy. I'm not telling you. I watched this when I was lost. But we are being trained. By the way, I'm not a preacher that recommends you go out and look at occult movies, go watch movies just to see the occult stuff in it. I think you should not do that. I'm not showing you this to glorify this. I'm not showing you this to have you run out and say, oh, I gotta see it. No, you don't. I'm telling you that they taught this in this movie years ago. I'll never forget it. And I've talked to you about it before, but I'll never forget it. When they brought that movie out, there was like two or three things that I thought that I could remember. Taco Bell was one of them. I thought that was really weird. The fact that they got fined for cussing in public, which I thought was kind of weird. But the other thing that they had was this woman, Sandra Bullock, wanted to fornicate with Sylvester Stallone. And the way they went about doing that was virtually. She goes, ooh, not by touch, not by exchanging bodily fluids. Like kissing and things of that nature, and that's where I'll leave that. Not by that. But they would put on the headset, they would put on these things, and that's how it would all be done in the mind. And if you can get a man, or a woman, and mostly a man, if you can get a man to be able to fulfill that like they started it with pornography and everything else, which will be a part of the metaverse. But if you can get a man to fulfill his lustful desires digitally or in the chambers of his imagery, as Ezekiel 8 calls it, they'll never sleep with a woman to have a child. They won't do that. You already have the world right now and the amount of children being born in the world among white people and other cultures, European cultures, have dropped dramatically. The birth rate. You have abortion, but you never saw this one coming. You never saw this one coming. This is going to be the greatest way, because when you can whittle everything down to having the same erotic, fornicating experience, and don't worry, I'm not going to say anything that isn't okay for children to hear. I'm not going there. But if you can produce that same thing in the mind and in the metaverse, then you take all the sloppiness out of it. And you create mind-numb zombies that are perverts to the core. And they'll never leave the metaverse. And COVID-19 was the bridge to make it happen. It was the key to the door of the great digital reset, to the rise of techno-occultism, for the platform to be opened. COVID-19 literally took the key, stuck it in the lock, and opened the virtual universe. It opened the metaverse. What do they do? Problem? Reaction, solution. They created the problem. They manufactured the reaction and gave you the solution. That's exactly what they did. I'm going to read this article to you, and it'll probably like send chills in your spine, up your spine, just to think about. Because it's exactly what they did. It was planned. It was absolutely planned. By who? By Satan. By the devil. By people that have authority and power that were given their great seat and authority by Satan. There's a number of players. Mark Zuckerberg's one of them. Tesla's another one. Amazon's another one. Bill Gates is another one. How many more do I need to name? The great men of the earth. Right? Donald Trump was one of them, in my opinion. All of these government officials. Fauci was a little Lord Sorcerer. All of them. And it was designed so, you know, you're too sick to be around each other. So we got to do this. But we thought, well, why? Just to take your liberty away. Oh, no, 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 no. To change your doors of perception. To change the way you look at things. To attempt to change the way you look at things. Right? To attempt to change the way you look at things. Because before, when you got a cold, your whole life didn't change. Before, when you got sick or a fever, your whole life didn't change. Now everyone's looked on everybody as like they're some kind of criminal. And if you don't get a vaccination, then you're some kind of criminal. Right? You're some kind of wicked person now if you don't do that. That's who you are. Right? That's who you are. So you see, they use COVID-19. Now, why did it work? Why has it worked to open up the metaverse? Look at the timing of the metaverse. Again, I you got to let me set this up. Give me a chance. If you're in a hurry, I mean, you can attempt to fast forward later if you want to listen to it. But if you'll just give me a chance, I'll take my time and I'll explain it to you. If you don't want to do that, then I don't know. Go listen to somebody else. But here's what they did. The timing of releasing and Facebook transforming to the metaverse was uniquely timed with COVID-19. It was the bridge. See, they had to mentally rape your mind and get you to a point of distraught, scare you half to death, make you feel as if you're going to die any second of time. Separate you from your family members. Destroy all the foundations of school. Destroy the foundations of church. Destroy the foundations of school. Destroy the foundations of going to the stinking grocery store without looking like a ninja when you walk out the door. Destroying your activities. Taking every bit of fun that you had in your life, physical fun like with people, away. Completely changing your mind about touching things, about people breathing on you, about staying 6 feet away. Psychologically playing and toying with your mind, making you think that a mask and barriers and plastic, look at it, plastic barriers around people wherever you go, there's plastic up everywhere, plexiglass plastic up everywhere, right? Avoiding touch, taking our older people and locking them in cells. Lock her up was America. We got locked up. Businesses locking you up, putting you in cages, keeping you separate from people. Why? To get you used to not being touched. Right? Keeping you from not touching. Right? Keeping you from touching one another. Getting you used to not touching people physically. Getting you used to not being close to people. Getting you used to looking at a screen all the time. We were already set up for it years ago with a smartphone, which when I get to this article and read it, you'll understand why. Distracting you from reality while your family's right in the room with you, which we're all guilty of. Setting you up for it. And then COVID-19 hit. And then that was the bridge. That was the key to the door. To keep things virtual. To get you to think virtually. Artificially. Do you understand what I mean? To get you to think artificially. To accept artificial things. Artificial intelligence. That's Friday's broadcast. Artificial intelligence. Artificially think. Everything's artificial. Nothing's real around you. Mm-hmm. That's the plan. Why? Why would they want you to think? Why would they want you to be away from people and not even to go to your own doctor's office and set up virtual doctor's meetings where my parents are like, they wanted my parents to meet virtually online with a doctor. Another establishment, hospitals. You're sick, but you can't go to the hospital. Right? You're sick, but you can't go to the hospital. Why? To destroy the foundations. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But they don't want to just destroy it because that wouldn't be enough. They want to destroy it because they're building back better. You get what that means? You get what that means? Yeah, they're going to build back better. Wait, does that mean that you tore something down? Yeah, it does. It means you destroyed people. You attempted to destroy people's realities so you could reshape them. You wicked, vile, disgusting, demonic, stinky, sulfur-smelling devils. That's exactly what they did. And that's what they're doing. Only the problem is that there's a lot of Christians out there that will push back and say, no. See, I know my Bible. I have the book. I have the book that explains everything that you're doing. So see, every institution that, like the children. Children are going nuts, shooting up schools. Children are going nuts with depression. Children are going nuts with they're discouraged, they're down. The suicides are up, drug abuse, overdoses, everything, all over the place, right? That's what they're doing. Why is that? Because they destroyed every normal foundation of everything those children had. Well, why were they doing that? Because they're going to build back better. That's why. You get it? They're going to build back better. That's why. Don't you get what that means? Don't you get that's what they're doing? They're building back better. Better. Peter talked about Alexander the Great wanted to rebuild Babylon. He sure did. And when he was sitting in Nebuchadnezzar's castle, God killed him. Wasn't time to build back. Better. Right? So what are we seeing right now? We're seeing build back better. We're seeing the metaverse. So, but what had to happen? COVID. I'm telling you, they had to do it in order to get people to do what they wanted. Say, oh, I know that sounds like conspiracy. It's not. Listen to Fauci on gain of function. He lied to the Senate, said he didn't have gain of function. He didn't fund gain of function, but if he did fund it, it would be done right. And they did fund it. Then they had to admit that they did fund gain of function. So you funded creating viruses to make people sick. Yes. That's okay, Carl. You can let Peter have the credit for it. He sends good coffee. So, they are building back better. That's what they're doing. Wait till you see this article. We're going to read this article. It'll probably make your skin crawl, right? This is from the Federalist in August. The Church of Facebook is set to capture the human soul in Silicon. On July 25th, the New York Times reported that since 2017, the social media giant has quietly cultivated exclusive partnerships with select religious communities. As always, money is involved. While Facebook's ultimate goals remain sealed behind a non-disclosure agreement, the Times article does hint at things to come. The company aims to become the virtual home for religious community and wants churches, mosques, synagogues, and others to embed their religious life into its platform, from hosting worship services and socializing more casually to soliciting money. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Guys, think about this. Now, most of these churches willingly suspended their services for months. Right? They suspended their services for months. For months. And they wouldn't allow anything or anyone to come in person services. They did everything online. Zuckerberg is using his money and influence to build the metaverse and build techno-occultism. While Facebook's ultimate goals remain sealed behind non-disclosure agreements, the Times article does hint at things to come. The company aims to become the virtual home for religious community and wants churches, mosques, synagogues, and others to embed their religious life into its platform by hosting worship services, socializing more casually to soliciting money. The partnerships reveal how big tech and religion are converging. The Times continues, Facebook is shaping the future of religious experience itself, as it has done for political and social life. In other words, ultra-mod spiritual centers will be blessed by mass data extraction, algorithmic polarization, and censorship of theological misinformation. If Facebook history is any guide, every digital prayer will be scooped up and turned into a data point. Livestream preachers who deny the sanctity of LGBT lifestyles will be flagged and punished as extremists. Best of all, smartphone-addicted congregants can donate their last widow's mite with the touch of a virtual button. Sounds like a little slice of heaven, doesn't it? The Church of Facebook is just one part of the much broader vision. 3 days before the Times article appeared, The Verge published an in-depth interview with founder Mark Zuckerberg about his ambition to bring the metaverse to life. The term refers to the evolution of a 24/7 screen time into a warped synthesis of physical reality, mixed reality, augmented reality, and virtual reality. The metaverse was first coined by Neil Stephenson in his 1992 dystopian novel Snow Crash. The author imagined the decadent virtual realm as an escape from a dismal society run by mega corporations. Now that the metaverse is being funded by Silicon Valley oligarchs and Wall Street traders, we're supposed to believe it'll be a fine place to live. In his Verge interview, Zuckerberg describes the metaverse as an embodied internet, the holy grail of social interaction, where we can work, play, and enjoy a sense of presence, alongside teleporting holograms. He predicts that within the next 5 years, around the same time Elon Musk hopes to achieve digital telepathy through brain chips, Facebook will transition from people seeing us as primarily being a social media company to being a metaverse company. And by the way, he a month later this article came up, that's when he switched over to the metaverse. Imagine a synagogue where a holographic burning bush recites the Decalogue, or a cathedral where saints' icons speak to you directly, or maybe animated deities waving their many arms in Hindu temples. Immersive idolatry is the future of false religion. With 3 billion users worldwide and zero sense of sacred boundaries, Facebook is poised to lead this spiritual revolution. Think about this, guys. Think about it. From the New Atlantis to techno-occultism, it's true that with enough hyperbole, anything can be described as a religion. People often say things like, art is my religion or nature is my religion. Critics also use this to scold their opponents, perhaps accurately saying science is their religion or even video gaming is their religion. But this is not hyperbole. Technology has become a religion. If you look at the personalities behind techno-fetishism, they frequently describe digital culture in spiritual terms. Smart devices produce all the miracles promised by religion, and for an affordable price, it's a dream world with a long history. Now listen to this. This gets a little more spookier. In Francis Bacon's unfinished 1626 novel, The New Atlantis, he describes a technocratic utopia. Listen to this. This is 400 years ago. Which, by the way, what year are we in? We're in 2021. What date did he say? He said, like, by 2025 or 2026. Think about that. 400 years from the time Bacon wrote his novel. These guys were devils, man. These guys were possessed. They were inspired by devils. In Francis Bacon's unfinished 1626 novel, The New Atlantis, he describes a technocratic utopia with perspective, listen to this, with perspective houses where we make demonstrations of all lights and radiations. We procure means to represent things near as afar off and things afar off as near. The pioneering scientist warns of vivid mechanical illusions that could be presented as miracles. As far back as the 17th century, Bacon was imagining holograms. In a sense, his New Atlantis has already arrived on your laptop display. What he foresaw is coming to pass. So look at this. Striking a dissonant note, in 1976, the first Apple computer went on sale for $666.66. Despite the cuddly Steve Wozniak's insistence that it was just a fluke. The numeric symbolism has dark resonance in the Christian imagination. You don't have to be superstitious to appreciate the mythical implications. When I visited, he said, the famous Apple Museum in Prague, Czech Republic, a large decal on the front window read, Three apples changed the world. The first tempted Eve. The second inspired Newton. And the third was offered to the world half-eaten by Steve Jobs. They're admitting what they are. That's the New Atlantis. The internet. See, we thought America was the New Atlantis. Well, they all are in forms of it. Uh-uh. This metaverse. It's the New Atlantis. Same model. Mm-hmm. Yep. Many observers are thrilled by these infernal archetypes. In 1988, Timothy Leary, remember that guy? Published his classic essay, Digital Polytheism, Load and Run High-Tech Paganism. The high priest of LSD explicitly describes the personal computer in terms of ritualistic magic. Here's his essay. I mean, think about this. Alchemists of the Middle Ages. Look at, man, do we even have time to go down this rabbit hole? Right? Major historical accomplishments of the 20th century, including the personalization of popularization of the quantum physic. An acceptance of self-reference, reference and circular casualty in systems of mathematics and psychology, and the resulting development of the cybernetic society. This philosophic achievement, which has dominated the culture of the 20th century, was based on a discovery by nuclear and quantum physicists around 1900. Man. In 1988, we learned to experience the Niels Bohr Werner Heisenberg could only dream of, the universe according to the cyberdelic equation and best describes as digital information processed with subprograms and temporary ROM statements. I don't have time to get into this. But boy, oh boy. Mm-mm-mm. Cyber religion of the baby boomers. By the year 2000, Aleister Crowley, William Gibson, and Edward Fredrick could well replace Benjamin Spock as a baby boom navigator. Why? Because by then, concerns of the baby boom generation will be digital, or to use the old paradigms, philosophic spiritual. During their childhood, they were mouseketeers. In their teens, the cybers went on to adolescent spiritual binge unequaled into the children's crusade. In their revolt against the factory culture, they reinvented and updated their tribal pagan roots and experimented with Hinduism, Haight Ashbury Buddhism, American Indianism, magic witchcraft, Ann Arbor voodoo, Azalean yoga, and computerized I Ching, Taoism, 3D reincarnation, fluid druidism, St. Stephen Jobs to the ashram. I don't have time to read that, but boy, is it dark. Okay? I'll read that later. Maybe I'll do something else on that later. Maybe I'll add it to the next broadcast. The high priest of LSD explicitly describes the personal computer in terms of ritual magic. Today, digital alchemists have at their command tools of a precision and power unimagined by their predecessors. Computer screens are magical mirrors, he calls them. Presenting alternate realities at varying degrees of abstraction on command. Invocation, he calls it. Aleister Crowley defined magic as the art and science of causing change to occur in conformity with our will. Leary wrote, it is a curious fact that like many techno-fetishists, Leary was so obsessed with Crowley and magic as he was with psychedelics and cybernetics. In fact, his essay opens with Crowley's catchy little ditty. We place no reliance on virgin or pigeon. Our method is science. Our aim is religion. In the smartphone age, even a midwit wizard can summon transportation. Szechuan noodles or casual intercourse with a few stripes of touchscreen, but that's just a cheap parlor trick. Big tech titans can observe our inner worlds in the aggregate or each of us one by one. They can use that information to sell targeted ads, manipulate public consciousness, or sway national elections. It's like the magic, except it works every time. Build back better with corporate religion. The mysticism connections is not secret. It's not some secret conspiracy. For instance, listen to this. On Good Friday of 2020, while religious communities were forbidden to gather in person and forced to worship online, Microsoft launched a controversial ad for their HoloLens 2 mixed reality glasses. The advertisement featured an art exhibit called The Life by Marina Abramovic. In it, we see goggled hipsters standing around a bougie gallery looking pleased with themselves. Suddenly, the spirit cooking sorceress materializes in a red dress. I believe the art of the future is art without objects, Abramovic narrates. There is always this great ideal of immortality. Once you die, the work of art will never die. Here, I am kept forever. The ad may be as tacky as it is sinister, but you don't have to be a crazed dot connector to see the profound symbolism. It's merely one expression of an increasingly influential worldview. Incidentally, both Microsoft and Facebook are among the many partners at the XR Association who joined forces to manifest the metaverse. In our daily lives, from basic infrastructure to spirituality. Google, Sony, HTC are also leaders in the effort. Immersive technology will play a vital role in America's drive to build back better. They're going to build it back virtually. Of course, over the course of the next decade, the physical and digital worlds will merge at an unprecedented scale. So the real question to ask yourself is Daniel 2:43 the merging of those two kingdoms, man and beast? Nebuchadnezzar was the man and beast, right? I like what he says here in this article. While citizens bicker over vaccine mandates and debt ceilings, big tech is crafting a parallel universe for a new breed of humans to inhabit. So they get you worried about January 6th and a bunch of fat guys taking over the Capitol, which is a joke, right? To scaring you with whether you're going to be forced to take a shot so you can feed your family. What is all of it? A distraction. Because what they're really doing is building this. That's what they're really doing. That's why you got to have variant after variant after variant. Oh, first it was COVID-19. Then it was, oh, what was the second one called? I don't know what the second one was called. I can't remember. Delta. Then you have the Transformer Omicron, or whatever it is, Omicron. Well, you're always going to have variants, so then, you know, it keeps getting worse. And so they can keep you distracted while they're building their platform. And they're using you to build it, right? That's what they're doing. I didn't want to go that way. I meant to go the other way. Right? Big tech is crafting a parallel universe for a new breed of humans to inhabit. Right now, the magic mirrors used to enter the world are touch screens in our palms. Now, think about this. I need to talk about this in the next broadcast. But there's another element to this. You have Timothy Leary, right? Well, he's the father of acid. Right? LSD? Doors of perception? Right? So, microdosing is part of this. Uh-huh. See, all this is factoring in because they're building a whole new world. Atlantis. Atlantis is rising. Magic mirrors, doors of perception. In the coming years, we'll be wearing them on our foreheads. Each of us will be free to spiral off into our own inconsequential reality, playing make-believe in the shadow of homogenizing corporate umbrella. It'll be heaven on earth. He's being facetious, of course. Maybe you don't buy that story, and that's fine. Don't worry about it. If Zuckerberg's proposed universal basic income is sufficiently generous, the powers that be will just buy it for you. See, their goal is to make Atlantis rise. That's what they're doing. That's their whole goal. They're building it. They're building back better. But they're not building what you think. Like, you see all this infrastructure and all these roads, and you think, oh, there's a battle on for infrastructure and roads. No, it isn't. They're funneling money everywhere. Because really what they're building is a metaverse. They're building a virtual world. That's what they're doing. Right? Let's see here. I want to show you something else. Here we go. Zuckerberg shows off his glove. The glove that lets you feel virtual objects. Here you go. I don't know what happened. Where'd it go? Is that it? They're all disappearing. They're going to the metaverse, I guess. Anyway. A VR robotics company called Haptix is accusing Meta of copying its patent technology to build a prototype haptic glove. Mark Zuckerberg is showing off a new device that promises to pave the way for his VR-powered metaverse. A haptic glove that can let you feel virtual objects. The glove looks like it belongs to a cyborg. It's fitted with hundreds of actuators or tiny motors that can deliver the sensation of touch across your hand. It can also lock your fingers into a certain position if you grab a ball or touch a hard surface in a VR world, for example. To enable this experience, let me see if I can find you the video here. Give me a second here. Let's see. Here's a good prototype. Here's one right here.
Feel different parts of the glove actuating on the fingertips because there's multiple actuators on the fingertip. Nice. Why don't you go ahead and try taking one of those blocks out? Is if you want to get rid of these little finger springs. An example of a more complicated interaction you could do with your hands. We can even shake hands. That's How often cool. do you get to shake hands, you know, in COVID days? We're actually kind of missing that connection with people, right?
That's fun. You see that? There you go. That's what he's talking about right there. Let me get back to that article. I think I had it somewhere around here. There it is. In the last 2 years, Meta Reality Labs made significant breakthroughs in both pneumatic actuators, which use air pressure to create force, and electroactive actuators, which change the shape or the size in the presence of electrical field. The company says a small microfluidic chip on the glove can also control the airflow that moves through actuators. On Tuesday, Meta and Zuckerberg uploaded several videos of the technology in action. However, the company notes that glove can't completely recreate the sensation of a real-world physics. Instead, the system can provide just enough feedback at the right times to trick your mind into thinking a virtual object is in your hand. So what is it? Witchcraft. Here it is. Got a verse for that? Yes, right here. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. You're being tricked into believe that you could feel something when you really can't. That's how Satan works. That's how the metaverse works. I'm telling you what, the devils are going to have an absolute field day with the metaverse. An absolute field day with it. Trust me when I tell you they're going to have a field day, and they already are having it. Right? Why? Because they're getting people to invest in things that aren't real. They're not real. They're going to trade in real things for fake things. But it's going to make them feel good. It's going to make them feel good. Right? Let me see if I can find it. Hang on. Let me find something here. Hang on. Okay, give me a second. I want to find something to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. It's satanic, friend. That's what it is. But let me... Sorry, give me a second here. I've got it here. I got it here. Ooh, I got to read this to you. I got to read this to you. This one I found. I got to read this one to you. Is it up here? Nope. I got two more to read to you. Oh my goodness, am I going to have enough time? All right. Remember we talked about the occultism? Well, here you go. Popular megachurch now offering a virtual reality campus in the metaverse. Look at this.
I need his forgiveness. I want to know him. Call on his name today. When you call on the name of Jesus, he hears your prayers. He forgives your sins, and by grace, he makes you new. Those who say, yes, I need his forgiveness. Today, I give my life to Jesus. That's your prayer. Lift your hands high right now.
In this room right now, in all space VR, here, if you want to lift your hand and give your life to Christ,
just type it in the chat.
Right now, I see you back there, man. Welcome to the family of God. I see you way back there in the back. Welcome to the family of God. So glad that you're here today, surrendering your life to Jesus. Pastor Craig is going to pray a prayer with us. Everyone, unmute. Let's pray this prayer together as a community.
Save me.
Save me.
By your grace.
By your grace.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
So I can know you.
These guys are so stinking wicked, man. All right, let me find... I'm looking for something else here. Let me see if I can find it. Is it this article? Nope, I got to find it. Hang on. Let's see. Oh, I talked to you about this earlier, but I just want to show you this. This is that... Just to... We talked about feeling, right? This device. Right? This device is going to make you feel better. Right? It's going to make you feel better. It had approved a marketing for a virtual reality headset. The FDA did. device designed to help people with lower back pain. In order to measure the safety and efficacy of the Ease VRX device, the FDA conducted a clinical study with 179 participants. The result of the study found that 66% of Ease VRX participants reported a greater than 30% reduction in pain compared to 41%. There you go. There it is, right?
Voted yes, and we had one abstain.
I don't know what that was, but anyway, regardless.
Can we?
That's what that was. Anyway, so that's what it was for, okay? Let me see. This is what I wanted to show you. I don't know where that went. But I got to show you this. Give me a second. Here you go. Magic in VR. That depends on your actual state of mind. Kangar's excitement is palpable in his release of a working brain-computer interface mod for Skyrim VR, in which the magic system in the game is modified so that the spell effectiveness is significantly boosted when the player is in a focused mental state. Kangar isn't just messing around either. He's a neuroscientist whose research focuses on assessing mental states during task performance. Luckily for us, he's also an enthusiastic VR gamer, and this project of his has several interesting aspects, and he's happy to show off in a couple videos. It all starts with the player wearing a Muse 2 meditation device. Are you getting this? This is witchcraft. This is magic. Techno-occultism. It all starts with the player wearing that mask. Yes, that's what I'm talking about, Jessica. Kangar reads data using the BrainFlow library and processes it in the final value on a scale between not focused and focused. Kangar makes a point of explaining that his system ultimately has the goal of modeling the player's state of mind, which is different from modeling just the brain activity. As such, motion data is considered as well, and holding still confers a small bonus to the process. How this data actually used in the game in VR, this focus value is shown as a small bar on the player's wrist. And spell effectiveness, for example, damage for attack spells scales along with the size of the bar. When the bar is a full player, would be very powerful, with spells doing double damage if the bar is empty. Spells will do little to no damage. Kangar demonstrates the mod in two videos, both embedded below, but you won't see him blasting enemies with fireballs. Presumably, VR games already know what that looks like. So what he does instead is explain how the system looks and works.
Hello everyone, this is Kangar. Welcome back to Skyrim VR Mods. Today I have a very cool new mod for you, and that is my own mod. My self-created first mod for Skyrim VR, and it is an actual brain-computer interface to make real virtual magic.
You heard what he said.
Alright, so first of all, some of you might know that aside from being a Skyrim VR YouTuber, in my day job I am a neuroscientist, or a PhD student actually, And I work with electroencephalography, reading electrical signals from the brain, in virtual reality. So all of this is actually what I do for a living. And I created a mod that combines the two. My passion for Skyrim VR with my passion for brain-computer interfacing. And here it is. You can now actually feel the magic power that is within your own brain, within your own mind, and make it a reality in Skyrim VR. So what that means is that if I am trying to focus, this slider here, which is the magic power, will just gradually increase.
See what he's doing?
It's actually difficult.
He's trying to use his
kind
mind.
Of like meditation. You really need to be able
picking
to
up
focus
his mind to control
your own mind
this.
To be able to relax, calm down, and yeah, bring the power into literally your
look
palm.
At
the,
look at what's in his hand. There's
satanic
oh, symbol.
Guys, I'm really tired because I worked on this all night. But for real, this is an actual real brain computer interface. For all that I know, it's the first one, the first actual brain computer interface in a virtual reality game. And the best thing is that you can also try it out. The only thing you need is a Muse. That's a meditation device, if you will. So
a Muse. Look at this. To call someone a muse means that this person inspires, motivates, and encourages an artist to produce work. A muse. The function of a muse. The work might be about the muse, but often the work provides the frame around which the work develops, right? To invoke the muse. Invoking the muse in Greek mythology, the muses were the personification of knowledge and the arts. Born of Zeus, king of the gods. Muse, to think about something carefully or thoroughly. To become absorbed in thought. Like, they don't pick these things on accident. You get that, right? Like, they don't pick those things on accident. They pick them on purpose. Like, it's... I'm trying to find where I was at here. Hang on. There it is.
So it does measure your electrical brain waves and some other things, and it costs like $270, I think. I'm not entirely sure. It depends on where you live. But it's totally doable, right? It's buyable by regular people. And you need that, and you need a dongle, and then you need nothing else. It just works. It connects with the mod I created, and then you can actually have your brain. This is Kangar. Welcome back to Skyrim VR Mods. Today, I have the power
I'm
back.
I'm telling you, this stuff has such a hypnotizing effect.
I cannot just run around and randomly attack stuff. That's the thing. I really need to... And I can also try to do that while I'm walking. I can try to...
It has such an effect on children, on everything, and... What they're basically doing is ordering it after witchcraft. This is what the metaverse is about. This is the direction. Here's another one. Real estate has gone meta. Why, Pastor, why do you think this is witchcraft? Because people are buying things that aren't real, that have no value really. They're buying them for the hope of value, yes. But they're buying things that aren't even real to live in a world that is not real. The metaverse is getting hotter, not hot like a delicious meal or a finished sauna. This mostly fictional virtual world is getting hot like a real estate market, because lately it is one. If you have enough money and courage, you can now buy up digital tracts of land in the metaverse. Of course, there isn't just one metaverse. Much like a website is part of the larger World Wide Web, there are countless companies, including Meta, Facebook, building their own virtual realms where they hope people will soon gather at their digital avatars to play games, buy things, and interact with ads. The emerging real estate market for these three-dimensional spaces in virtual reality, including everything from virtual concerts, venues, and shopping malls to houses and monuments, anticipates a future in which digital property owners can work with brands that want a presence of the various iterations of their metaverse. One of the first companies to get into the digital real estate business is Metaverse Group, which operates a virtual world called Decentraland. Last week, Metaverse's group parent company, Token.com, announced that 116 parcel estates in the heart of the Fashion Street District with Decentraland sold for the equivalent of about $2.5 million. A record. The new owner of this estate near Fashion Street could presumably profit if Louis Vuitton wants to open a store there. They could effectively be the brand's virtual landlord. The Decentraland deal did not, strictly speaking, involve real money. The digital estate sold for 618,000 mana, a type of crypto... Mana! Do you get that? From heaven. Bread from heaven. A type of cryptocurrency used in Decentraland. When you say it out loud, mana actually sounds a lot like the first couple syllables of Monopoly. Imagine if you came to New York when it was farmland and you had the option to get a block of Soho. Metaverse Group co-founder Michael Gord recently told the New York Times, "If someone wants to buy a block of real estate in Soho today, it's priceless. It's not on the market." That same experience is going to happen in the metaverse. All this probably sounds a bit mind-bending. Who would pay real money for the rights to a piece of virtual world that doesn't entirely exist yet and will never exist in the real world? Well, if you've been paying any attention to the NFT craze or the cryptocurrency boom in recent years, plenty of people are pouring millions of dollars into digital assets with the expectation that others might be willing to pay even more for them in the future. This metaverse land grab is happening under a similar assumption. What makes the metaverse real estate boom all the more enticing, though, it is the idea that once you own a piece of digital land, you might be able to make money by leasing it out or selling it ads. See this? In its most basic form, the metaverse concept is not that different from the early days of the web. Mark Zuckerberg told his investors that the company expected to spend more than $10 billion on its metaverse projects this year alone. Still, plenty of companies are trying to compete with him. In addition to Decentraland, you can now buy digital land in the metaverse with names like Somnium Space, The Sandbox, and Upland. One company called Spot Selfie, which currently operates an augmented reality app, will soon let you buy virtual real estate that's associated with GPS coordinates in the real world through a new feature called Spotland. You see this? This is what they're doing. But it's got to feel real. Right? It's got to feel real. So that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Now, I think I'm going to... So do you understand the witchcraft? The design? This is, again, remember what I told you before? I told you before, like a few weeks ago when I did the last metaverse, that this isn't by no means over. Like, by no means. I will be discussing this for a while. I will be talking about this for a while. Because it's not going anywhere. I mean, the metaverse is going somewhere, but it's not going away. That's what it's not doing. and it is witchcraft, and they know it, and they're merging. Next time I talk to you, which might be Friday, I don't know yet. It's probably going to be Friday, I think. I don't know. I got to see. I just don't know. There's a special hunt that I might be able to get involved with, or that I can get involved with, that's not that far from here, that I might do. But I don't know yet. I just haven't decided yet. I didn't get to get another deer like I wanted to. I got busy with, I had to get a bunch of shelves and everything for my build out that we're doing out at my property for the Southern Command Center to broadcast and to build a studio, because we're building a studio out there. And I literally saved I saved about $2,000 with using sweat equity and taking apart these tough constructed metal shelves for all my books out there. And, you know, to find things that I can use for that I don't have to spend full price on, because it's going to be pricey to do all that. It's going to cost like probably $15,000 for me to do everything that I want to do out there, to build that ourselves and to do all that stuff. So, you know, it's taken up some of my time to do some of that. But anyway, so, but. I want to try to get another deer if I can. I just don't know if I'm gonna or not. It just depends. I'll find out. I'll know later on. But the next broadcast, Lord willing, that I bring to you will cover, I believe, again, the metaverse. Because see, it's not just the metaverse, but the virtual aspects of it. How about reproducing? We're gonna talk about reproducing robots. We're gonna talk about corporations injecting commercials into your dreams. There's a lot of other things that I want to talk about. The merging of man and machine together. It's all part of this. It's all part of this rise of Atlantis. It's all together. There's a reason. There's a purpose. We don't yet know how it all is going to come about, but we do know what the scriptures warned us of. Right? And it's found in Matthew 24. I mean, it's also found, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders in all deceivableness of unrighteousness, right? Let's look at that. With all powers and signs and lying wonder, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Bible warns us of the deception, right? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Who is this man? It's that Antichrist and that kingdom that's rising, that Atlantis that's rising, right? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then Matthew 24. Warns us. Jesus warns us. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's happening. Many shall be, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He warns us, and when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Bible warns us about that, right? about that great tribulation. For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there in the metaverse, believe it not. I added the metaverse, of course, part, but. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. You know, the chambers of your imagery? Believe it not, for as the secret chambers of the mind. For as the lightning come out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's coming, friend. It's coming. But that's why we have a book. That's why we have the scriptures. There's going to be a time when with all this technology, we jump off, man. We're like, nope, we're done. It's coming. Do I know when that is? No, not exactly. But it'll be there. That's why it's important that you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's important that you trust Christ. It's important that you know the gospel. It's important that you don't trust in the way you feel or anything else but the facts of faith in Christ alone, right? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe what the Bible says. Plainly and simply, these days are going to be a test of whether you believe God or not. Right? Whether you and I believe God. Carl, you said, I jumped off a long time ago. I'm not talking about jumping off the world. I'm talking about we're going to have to depart from technology. So, the point is, and the truth is, Christ alone is salvation. In him we have life, and we have it more abundantly. There's going to be a lot of deception coming. Already is here, but it's going to grow. And we have to believe God's word above everything we see, above everything we feel, above everything we hear, above everything we smell. We're going to have to believe Christ. You believe that Bible. You stake everything on Christ Jesus. You stake your never dying soul on Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where your trust is. That's where it is. It's got to be. That's where it's got to be. We've got to know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. For when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the gospel that we preach. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only hope. Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? Mary had a baby, he is the King of Glory. Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? He will die to save us, ain't that good news? He will die to save us, ain't that good news? He will die to save us, honor the name of Jesus. He will die to save us, ain't that good news? Who is the baby? Who is the
babe of Bethlehem. He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. He is called King Jesus, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Gentle Shepherd, Loving Prince of Peace. Mary had a baby, and that good news. Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, oh how my heart is yearning. Christ is soon returning, that's good news. Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. Mary had a baby. Jesus died to save us. He is soon returning. Ain't that good news?
Amen. Amen. So that's what the Bible says is the good news, is Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. That's the gospel we preach, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, amen. That's the answer to all these things, all these trials that are coming, all these challenges that are coming. The answer is Christ, Jesus, and Him crucified. All right, everybody, I think I'll be back, Lord willing, we'll see. I'll be back on Friday. That is probably going to be the time, but we'll see what happens, what the Lord does with that. But you keep praying for us. Pray for our ministry. Pray for the Lord to continue to bless us. And tomorrow night, if you want to listen to our sermon on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, right on this one, right, this sermon audio page, you can actually listen live. We'll be broadcasting Wednesday's sermon live. So it'll be around 7:45 Central Time. So Central Time, 7:45, you can listen up then. And so we'll put that on there. And then this broadcast will go back on there for sure. And I'll put that on here later on today and get that out there for people to listen to. So praise the Lord for that. And if you want to give to our ministry, please, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or at pastorcooley@icloud.com, or you can click on the give button here, or you can scroll down to the bottom of the page and you can give there as well. It tells you how to give, how to send something to us if you'd like to do that. Hope this is a blessing to you. Hope it helps you understand what's going on and everything like that. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon, Lord willing.